This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Chicago, the grudge matches on the gridirons might be gone, but get ready to hit the ball and touch them all at your local Chevy dealer, where you'll find the real MVPs of SUVs. If you're thinking about rounding third and heading for home in a new Chevy, you're not alone. The right vehicle makes all the difference when it comes to safety, confidence, and comfort on the road. You saw the Chevy lineup at the auto show. Now it's time to take the next step and banner up. Need the power and durability of a Silverado? The all-weather confidence of an Equinox or Blazer? The spacious comfort of a Traverse, Tahoe, or Suburban? Or the sporty city-friendly Trax? Your local Chevy dealer has exactly what you need to win the game like a pro. So don't wait. Head to ChevyDriveChicago.com today. Browse the newest models, special offers, locate the nearest dealer, and start shopping online. Things are warming up out there, and you need a vehicle you can trust. Find yours now at ChevyDriveChicago.com. Chevy, together, let's drive.
Is your old air conditioner running all the time but not cooling your home? Stop wasting energy and money. Call Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, Electric today for a complete AC cleaning and tune-up. And we'll include absolutely free, a one-year, no-breakdown guarantee, all for just $89.95. That's right. We guarantee your AC will cool your home for an entire year or your money back. Call 866-4-SEASONS.
For all the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
We all agree, correct call on the Elias Diaz fan interference home run. Guy clearly reached over, Giants fan,
by the way.
Reached over the wall, but it didn't hit the part of the glove that was over the wall. It hit the wrist, and it was close. Am I 100% sure it would have gone over? No.
Even Don was talking about how on the, you know, oftentimes when it hits the top of that spins back into the field of play. But I thought where it hit his hand was important because it did not hit the glove that was over the wall. It hit his wrist, and I know that hurt because that ball was murdered, and he whiffed it completely. He hit him on the upper wrist. So I thought, yeah, I think that's a home run.
There was certainly enough of a chance that it was going to go over that you can't overturn the call on the field, though, which was home run, and that's the standard they use. But important lesson. Giants fan may have cost his team. That ball may have gone back onto the field.
Yeah. Had it been ruled in play, I don't know that they would have changed it.
I agree.
The thing, man. The call on the field was massively important.
You know, Padres fans, just note, don't be a Giants fan. Don't reach over the wall, even if it's coming your way. Got to wait until it crosses to make sure your team gets the home run. But
like I said, people lose all sense of decorum and ability to check their body when a ball is coming toward them. They just lose their minds. And so, but I know that dude's got a bruise this morning. I know he does. That ball was. I can't say it. He smoked it.
Stung. It was stung. And so
hyped it.
So is his wrist stinging this morning. Paulie put on a rundown here, and I don't know why, just to make us all feel a little bit worse today. But he said, are you finding yourself getting more and more nervous with each Michael King start that the Padres won't be able to keep him around for several years to come? Yes, Paulie,
yes.
I am.
Yeah, same.
It's a valid discussion point.
He is pitching his way into being the premium free agent of this offseason. Good for Michael King.
Yeah, good for Michael King, bad for us.
Good for Michael King's agent, bad for A.J. Preller, bad for San Diego Padres fans.
Let's get creative, Michael.
They got really creative just to sign him for the
deal here. We think it'd be really good for your brand.
Yeah, how about all the exposure you're going to get in San Diego? Tons of exposure. You do what you have to do to keep that guy here for the next 5 years.
He's also just he's a stellar guy.
He's a great human.
He's the type of guy that you want.
How do you let
on
him,
your team
you can't
for
let,
years?
You can't let that guy walk.
I think there is certainly some scenarios where the Padres get a what will be a massive long-term deal done for Michael King, but I think it's also contingent. They're not going to be able to sign many massive contracts. If they look solid going into next year, they don't have a lot of other holes to fill, then maybe they can devote, you know, whatever money they have in the offseason to Michael King. But figure if they do that, you're finding guys on the margins again the rest of the places. If you feel like you have multiple areas where you need to fill at the end of the season, I don't know that you can put all your eggs into the Michael King basket as hard as it would be to let him go. If that's all you can do, I'm not sure. So the better, you know,
well,
the more production, the more health you have going into next year, I think the more likely it is you can sign Michael King.
You got your third baseman locked up. You've got your center fielder locked up. You got your right fielder locked up. You got your second baseman locked up. You've got a potential catcher in waiting. You've got a few pitchers locked up. Like,
you have Xander Bogaerts.
Your shortstop locked up. So the thing is, it's going to be, here's what's going to be hard, and this is way early to talk about this, but why not, since we brought it up? It's going to be a hard sell to the fan base of, sorry, we couldn't afford Michael King, when Petco Park is sold out on a Wednesday afternoon with 45,000 people. That's a really, really hard sell for the fans. Like, oh, okay. You're going to let him walk. All right.
It would be insulting and a tough pill to swallow as a fan, because all you hear so much of the time is how much you need the fans.
Yeah,
come on out.
Every other owner is crying poor right now because their fans aren't coming to the ballpark, and they're saying, well, that's why I'm not spending any money, because nobody shows up to watch this team.
I see in the chat a lot of people say, don't forget about Arraez. So if it came down to it and you can only sign one of those two guys.
Like Michael King.
King is going to be much more expensive than Arraez.
He is.
But I don't think, my prediction would be you can't keep both of them. You won't be able to keep both of those guys at the end of this season.
Yeah, imagine Michael King slinging that two-seamer and that sweeper against you wearing L.A., you know,
now,
Pantone
now
blue.
Keep in mind, you're getting a pitcher back next year, one that's already signed in Joe Musgrove.
Yep.
Now
we could get two if we signed Michael King.
You need them both.
Because we've already paid Joe Musgrove. Now we get two.
I am curious to see what Luis Arraez's market would look like on the free agent side.
As you're also losing Dylan Cease as well.
I've already written him off. I think he's gone.
As a buy.
In my head, he's not going to be a Padre. I'm going to miss him. I like watching
Musgrove
Cease
replaces
pitch.
Cease, but you got to keep King.
I mean, if Jackson Merrill is signing a $15 million a year deal, we can get Luis Arraez. You know what I mean? I'm not going to sit here and say there's no way they can do both, because I think you can do both. I think you can get creative.
I don't think, knowing that Michael King's probably going to get somewhere in the realm of 30. Probably $1 million a year. And Luis Arraez, as you said, even on a decent deal and the, you know, 12 to 17 million, I don't think the Padres are going to be able to go out and add $50 million more to their payroll next year.
I don't want to talk about this.
Now you're taking 15 off for Hosmer.
Eric Hosmer.
Right. I'm counting that. I don't think you're still going to be able to add 50 against what you're.
You think Arraez is going to make 20 million?
17.
I would say 12 15. To 17 is a reasonable range.
That's when I start to think, when we talked about the Jackson Merrill extension when it happened, and we talked about, you know, guys around the league going to be upset with him for what he's doing to the market. You maybe don't look at the other 29 teams and the free agents. If you're AJ Preller, you just look at what you got going here, and you're like, hey, man, Jackson's doing it for 15. I think Jackson Merrill is going to be more valuable on his contract than Luis Arraez's next contract.
Yeah,
right?
I think so. I absolutely
so.
Think
if Jackson's
so.
Making 15, it's not out of the realm of possibility that you can get a rise for like a $12
million.
Yeah,
but Jackson had no leverage because he had so many years of team control. Luis Arraez is going to be a
free agent.
That's the ultimate leverage.
Yeah.
That's where you get your money. It's not the performance so much as your leverage, and Luis will have much more of it. Drew in the chat says, sorry, Drew, Joe Musgrove contract looking horrible right now.
No.
I disagree. I absolutely disagree.
Hurt.
At $20 million coming back at the kind of pitcher he is, that's
a steal
right now,
man.
With the price tag for Joe Musgrove. Yes, he's hurt, but he's progressing. He said he's now at, I heard him say 75 feet, throwing well, feeling good. You know, I don't anticipate we see him this year, but given him then an entire offseason, I think you'll have him a little further along
yeah.
than some guys. You know, Dodgers got Tony Gonsolin back. Look pretty good in his first start yesterday. So guys come back from Tommy John surgery now, pitching pretty well. And I think he's going to look really good that $20 million deal next year. Even losing this year, I'm still happy with the Joe Musgrove contract.
Yeah.
And they're going to need pitching next year, with or without Michael King.
Yeah.
Because, as you said, we all feel like they're going to lose Dylan Cease at the end of this year. As
I
for
think
the rest,
you're going to lose Cease. You're getting Musgrove back, sure. But what do you expect from Darvish in 2026?
That's the other question.
Would we have him for like 3 more years?
Yeah.
I don't know that he's going to have too many strong seasons, full-length seasons, the rest of the way. So you really, really need to look at how you can bring back a Michael.
Well, and if I'm Jackson Merrill, and I kind of ate it a little bit, you know, in the hopes of the team's going to build and continue to build, that's what I expect. I expect them to go build, you know. I really do. And look, as I said, it's way too early for this talk. Way too early.
We did get an injury update on some of the other guys, though. Luis Arraez and Jason Hayward back. How about Jackson Merrill, Brandon Lockridge, Jake Cronenworth, Yu Darvish? Mike Schilt had an update yesterday on all of those guys as they head out on the road.
Do you have any updates on the guys in Arizona, Lockridge and Merrill, and their progression, and also maybe when Jake might join them?
Jake, I don't know if he's going to join them. Those guys are all on three different plans. Locke and Jackson are pretty close to the same plan relative to where they are in their rehab, and they're at the good side of it. They're towards the finish line of it. Locke played back-to-back games in Arizona at the complex on Monday and Tuesday. I think I've got my days right. And then Jackson played last night with Locke Tuesday. And they both got 6 at-bats. The bat well, played left. Jackson played center. Locke got a bag and won the 2 games. Jackson hit a triple.
Oh.
And then he hit a double, and everybody in the dugout yelling him to go for 3.
No.
And I'm watching the video of it, like, please do not try that right now. And he stopped a second. So, but yeah, they're progressing. Jake's with us now, and he's going to head to Arizona today to get some work in as well.
So you say toward the finish line. Is that finish line potentially the early part of this road trip?
We're still evaluating again. You know, it's where they are in their progressions. They're not all on equal footing, but they're all close to where they're at, and I do expect, you know, things being equal and the recovery still taking place, AJ, that, you know, we'll see them, you know, some version of one or two of them, you know, early in the road trip, Pittsburgh, and then possibly New York on the second side of it.
I don't know why, but it amuses me to no end picturing Mike Schilt watching highlights that have already taken place and yet still cheering for Jackson Merrill. Please stop. Do not try to stretch this into another triple. You're recovering from a hamstring injury. Do not, in a complex game, you're not trying to get 3 here.
Come on, bro. It just goes to show you what kind of player that guy is. You can't turn it off, right? Like, it's just, that's who that guy is. And you know, maybe to his detriment at this point, as you are recovering from a hammy.
Like Joe in a spring training game, falling, diving.
Like, come on, man.
Throwing off balance and diving. Please don't.
You can't just turn it off. You just can't. And they need to. So hopefully Jackson's back and Lockridge for the Pittsburgh series. It sounds like that's a possibility.
Sounded like it. At one of them, if not both, could be back during the series that starts tomorrow in Pittsburgh, and then both of them should be back by the time they get to New York on Monday to face the Yankees.
So Brandon wants to know, with 3 guys coming off the IL, Jackson, Crony, and Lockridge, and they will be coming off at different times, you may see a Merrill Lockridge off the IL. Who goes down? Who stays? I'm keeping Tyler Wade on my team. Tyler Wade, you know, obviously he's not going to be playing center field if Jackson Merrill's up, but he can. Brandon Lockridge, because Tyler Wade can also play in the infield.
You know, Tirso still has options. I think he goes down.
Connor Joe, I would
certainly think could possibly be headed back down. If y'all have all 3 of them back,
Tirso probably.
That's 2 of them. I mean, Oscar Gonzalez, I kind of like. I don't necessarily want to lose him, but
I don't know that you can keep him and Tirso.
Right. Somebody's got to go. Somebody's got to go down.
Yeah. No, Tirso, I think, goes down for sure when Jackson probably comes back.
Yeah.
And then Lockridge, probably Connor Joe. You're adding speed. I mean, Lockridge is definitely a value to the team.
Oh, yeah.
probably above where Connor Joe is at this point. And then, yeah, you know, these things tend to work themselves out. Someone else says that, you know, a bump or a bruise somewhere, but
an ouchie.
At this point, those would be the first two that I would think would be on the plane back to El Paso.
I don't know if Oscar has any more options, right?
I think now that he is on the 40 man, I don't think he's out of options.
Okay.
You know, I they had to get him onto the 40 man originally, but now that he is, I believe he does have options.
Yep. Yeah, Tyler Wade's absolutely earned his spot. I think he's going to be here for the rest of the year, the way he's played and filled in and, you know, contributed, to be honest, and can play multiple positions, can play the infield, can play the outfield. So he's turning into a valuable player.
Don't Do This is coming up next. Know the rules of baseball, apparently. One team got burned by not knowing the rules well enough, and I'll admit, I wasn't aware of this one either. We'll get to that coming up next with Ben and Woods after a check of traffic with Kelly here on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50, code LISTEN50.
Don't Do This.
It's time for Don't Do This.
What were you thinking?
Three stories from the world of sports that make us all shake our heads.
Wow. Yeah.
How many times do I have to tell you?
Oh, I'm sorry, I fudged up, guys.
You idiot. You moron.
You dumbass.
The apple sometimes does fall from the tree.
Don't Do This.
Do not tweet that.
With Ben and Woods.
I like a Nickelback song or two.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Got in-season Sammy. Sam Levitt will join us in about 15 minutes. First, though, it is time for DDT, brought to you by Trust and Will.
Don't.
Leave your entire estate, house, kids, and life savings up to chance if and when you die.
Do.
Set up a Trust or Will online at trustandwill.com.
This
is a lot more affordable than you think. Visit trustandwill.com for more info.
I will get us started today in the great game of baseball. The Angels, they started the season with some promise. They did. They were playing pretty inspired baseball. They are fifth place in the West now. They are 12-17, and things are not going well. They've imposed, been self-imposed, some really odd travel it's kind of killing them, and it's their fault. They're
self-imposed.
Self-imposed. The way that they have created their schedule, when they leave, when they fly out. There's a big story about it in the Athletic.
So they don't do it like the way the Padres do. As soon as the game's over, they just hop on a flight.
It's been a weird season for them. They have pushed some games back. They obviously try to generate more revenue. And it's not really working for their players. Their players have been vocal about it. They've complained. I think maybe their manager is starting to lose it as well. I love Sam Blum, who writes for the OC Register. Is that right? And he covers the Angels. Oh, no, he's with the Athletic now. He covers the Angels for the Athletic. He writes yesterday, well, the Angels just had two pitchers go to the mound. Ryan Johnson from the dugout and Jake Eater from the bullpen. Now, by rule, Johnson has to face at least one batter. He had already thrown the inning before.
They wanted to replace him, but apparently no one told him he was coming out of the game, so he went back out for the next inning.
Yep, grabbed a ball, threw a warm-up pitch, and they said, oh, by rule, you got to face one batter. So it's not the world's greatest look. Sam says, more importantly, it shows how much of a mess this game, road trip, etc., has been for the Angels. They also lost Mike Trout yesterday. Mike Trout hit a ground ball, was busting it down the line, hit first base, and was removed from the game after that. Looks like it's a knee injury for Mike Trout. He got injured on the very same day last year as well.
I did see that he thought maybe minor and could even be back on the field today. But by the way, Mike Trout hitting 179.
Yeah, it's a tough scene, man.
This season.
It is a tough, tough scene. And so, yeah, again, it's just such a bad look. It looks like you're not prepared. It looks like you're not communicating.
Mike Schilt could never. So, it's interesting. Our friends at Cespedes Family Barbecue, I assume this is Jake, tweeted yesterday, one time I was playing shortstop in high school, and as a dumb joke, I pretended to throw a warm-up pitch on the way out during an inning. I had to face the first batter, Cole. The pitcher went to short, then we switched back. Yeah. Anyway, go Angels.
Yeah.
I did not realize that was a rule. Like, if you throw a warm-up pitch, even as a joke, you're now the pitcher. And you have to go into the game and at least face one batter.
Yeah, Jesus says, I thought it was a minimum three batters for pitchers. It is, but he had thrown the inning before, so he had ticked off his three batters, but he had to go one more. And, you know, the only bright side, Ben, no one told him he was coming out. So it's not like he shut down and was like, all right, my work here is done. He thought he was going out. So he did have to face one more batter. They brought Jake Eater in. And they ended up losing the game anyway. Very, very tough for the Los Angeles Angels of Los Angeles, California.
Obviously, for story number two, plenty of publicity for the prank phone call that Shedeur Sanders got during the draft. Turned out, of course, it was the son of the defensive coordinator for the Falcons who got the number off his dad's iPad. And
apparently we missed a bunch of prank calls.
I guess I saw like three or four other draftees reported later. Yeah, I also got a prank phone call. And, Paul, you said there's another one that was actually the audio or video was posted on the web?
Yeah, I saw the video, and there was some cursing, so I had to not show the video for our YouTube audience. I got the audio because I'd edit it. But Mason Graham was prank called last week. A Bucks fan, a young man and his friends sitting in a dorm room or whatever. And they're filming the phone call and they zoom in on the phone number that's private and only for these players. And I just, again, like, I don't know that anybody's going to go to jail for this, but the self-incriminating part of all of this is always just mind-blowing to me.
It's so mind-boggling to me.
Like, let me get a nice, clear close-up of my face.
Hey.
Here's going to zoom in on the phone number.
We broke into Joe Burrow's house. Here's me wearing his chain. Like, all right. And yeah, it's on Instagram and TikTok.
How do you feel bad for anybody if they get any sort of punishment? So
I'd say it's actually a really good time to be a criminal if you're a smart criminal, because there's so many dumb criminals out there, you really set yourself apart.
Yeah.
Let's get a crew together and start heisting things, because I think we could do it. You plan it. Paulie will do logistics. I'll execute.
All right. Sounds good.
Adam, wait, we drive just, the getaway
now we
car.
Just told Adam everybody. Drive the getaway car.
We just told everybody.
Oh, crap. We just did what we said not to do. Exactly. All right.
So here's what that phone call sounds like.
Hello?
Hey, is this Mason?
Yes, sir.
Hey, this is Kevin Stefanski with the Cleveland Browns. You want to be a Brown buddy?
Yes, sir.
All right, bring your ass. Dumb f***. No chance, bro. Go Bucks. You like clown. You're a clown. You're actually a f***ing clown.
Yes, he's the clown.
That guy is way worse than the other guy.
Yes.
Way worse. Way worse. That prank call was way worse than Shadur's.
With Shadur.
At least, though, they knew it was a prank within 5 seconds, as opposed to never really revealing the fact that it was a prank.
I think that's what makes, I mean, just on strictly on the basis of whether or not it's a good prank, I think that's what makes the first one, the Shadur one, a better prank.
Yeah, this one
because
was...
Because you had the video of, like, Shadur's buddy or his brother or whoever filming him taking the phone call, thinking he was getting drafted, and he's like, what does that mean? I had to keep waiting. What does that mean? What did he mean by that? And then they realize, oh, it must have been a prank call. This one, they wasted no time.
I saw someone make a fairly smart suggestion that if the NFL wants to do away with this, just announce to all GMs that any calls to draft picks will be done via FaceTime. And you could really pretty much eliminate most of the prank calls. Because if it looks like the GM, I mean, I guess you could really go elaborate, but otherwise it's going to be pretty obvious if it's real or not.
Here's the other one. Just have them watch it on TV and hear like everybody else. Because...
Yeah, what is the point
of alerting someone in advance? You're the draft pick.
Yeah.
All right, I'll be the draft pick. You're the GM.
All right.
Hello.
Hey, Stephen Woods. This is Mickey Loomis, general manager of the Saints.
Hey.
We're about to take you with the 77th pick
in
the draft.
No, I don't want to play for the Saints, man. Call somebody else. It's not going to happen. Just let them watch on TV like everybody else does.
It really...
Hey, we're going to take you with the next pick. Oh, no, I wouldn't. You don't want to take me. Take my buddy. He's way better.
Is it just a courtesy call?
It's a courtesy.
Like we're about to take you, and we don't want you to be surprised.
Just
we
let them watch.
No, I guess you could just let them watch.
Let
on
them watch,
TV.
And everyone gets to sit there. And they didn't call my name. All right, well, hopefully they call me. They call my name soon, and you sit there and rot like everybody else has.
When guys are actually there at the draft,
yeah.
they don't get a call, do
no.
they?
No, yeah, they do.
They sometimes get a call.
You see
them in the green room.
Yeah.
They get the call.
You
then
see
the
them,
name
the
gets
agent
called.
Gets it, and hands it over. Yeah, you do see it. All right, let's go. Do this.
DD Mega Doo Doo.
Well, very rare that I'm going to praise a National League West rival, as it were, a division rival, the Colorado Rockies. I've got to give them some credit, Benny. They ended an 8-game losing streak.
Has it really gotten to the point that even a single win is now doo doo this territory?
Well, I'll tell you why it is. The reason it's a doo-doo, they avoided joining the 1988 Baltimore Orioles as the only teams since 1901 to lose at least 26 of their first 30 games. So as they turned the calendar, Benny, on the month of April, I'm sure they're going to be very happy to see May coming because they avoided that record. But yeah, they did. They beat Chris Sale, man. Beat him 2-1 yesterday. Brenton Doyle hit a tie-breaking home run off of Chris Sale in the third inning. A 2-1 victory over the Braves. Again, avoiding the 1988 Baltimore Orioles as the only team since 1901 to lose 26 of their first 30.
I guess I'll throw in a doo-doo this for the Mariners, Guardians, Orioles, Pirates, Phillies, Royals,
they weren't about to break a record. They weren't about to break a record.
Athletics and Cardinals twice, who swept a doubleheader.
Yeah.
For yesterday's victories in Major League Baseball.
So congratulations to Buddy Black. You're officially off the hook for the worst start in Major League Baseball.
Sure, he enjoyed a nice craft beer after the game in honor of that amazing accomplishment of not being the worst team of all time after 30 games.
Yes, yeah, it's a big one.
And that's don't and sort of kind of do this for a Thursday.
That was Don't Do This with 97.3 The Fan.
In season, Sam Levitt will help us wrap up the Padres homestand that was. Look ahead to a big 9-game East Coast and Rocky Mountain road trip coming up for your San Diego Padres. That is next on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Well, for over 8 years, QC Kinetics has been the nation's leader in non-surgical relief for joint pain with over 50,000 satisfied patients. I am one of them. Lots of people out there with knee, back pain, now living pain-free. Shoulder and hip pain is gone. And what they're doing here in San Diego is nothing short of remarkable. They are using regenerative cell therapy to restore the tissue in your achy joints. It makes sense, right? My joints, my wrists were so... Achy wasn't even the right word. It was painful to the touch. And every time I do one of these spots, I find myself grabbing my wrists and squeezing them and thinking, that's crazy. It's crazy. I could not touch them. It would almost bring me to my knees when I would bang my wrist against something. Now, no problems at all. I'm going to be in the gym here in a few hours, lifting heavier weights than I ever have before. They completely changed my life, repaired old tissue in my wrist. And now, you know, obviously the best part with QC Kinetics, no drugs, no surgery, no downtime. It's all natural, cellular level option with lasting relief. So call them today, 619-614-PAIN, 619-614-PAIN, QC Kinetics. Call them today. Got appointments available in Torrey Hills and in Hillcrest, 619-614-PAIN. Let them know that Woodsy sent you to QC Kinetics.
I'm Emma Grade, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Grade, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Grade, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
It's like seeing where chat goes. Sometimes it goes in its own direction on our YouTube stream.
It really does.
Today, a lot of people talking still about my lips.
Your lips have been a huge topic of conversation.
And actually, I've got nothing going on the lips today. I think this is just the natural glow of finally healing from my weekend of chapping. Now it's just one little scab here in the middle. That it just cracks so badly that now I just need to wait for that thing to completely heal. But I don't have any limp plumper. I actually don't even have any chapstick on right now.
Nothing.
This is just...
They're naturally shiny.
This is just naturally shiny lips today.
Yeah, those are... It looks like it hurts a little bit.
It's much better than it was earlier this week.
It's the Bob Melvin lip.
It's the good healing that's going on.
All the proteins from the milk that you dipped your lower lip in.
Maybe that's it. Maybe I've come up with the revolutionary new lip therapy that's going to be hitting spas across the nation. Paulie AI'd me. You got the sweatshirt right. That's pretty much a 10-day sweatshirt, but... It doesn't even look like me.
It looks like a little bit.
It kind of looks like you.
It looks like you a little
looks
bit.
It's more like Raul Martinez
it
from
does.
Fox 5, I think.
Yes, yes.
The hair is pretty accurate, actually.
It's almost identical.
Just soaking your lips in a bowl of milk.
It's like an actor playing
you. It's more of a cup of milk, but yeah, you know, it's pretty much what I did. And look at how shiny and healthy looking my lips are now.
Look at them now.
It's the new treatment. Sam Lovett is standing by in season. Sammy will help us wrap up the Padres homestand right after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
Damn it, Paul.
We just want to make Sammy feel comfortable now that the month of May has arrived and is fully announced as Sam Lovett, Padres EcoWater SoCal Pre. And Humul Casino post-game show host joins us here on 97.3 The Fan. Good morning, Sammy.
Hi, guys. Good morning. And yes, I thought Petco Park did an excellent job with the music over the course of this two-game series. I'll tell you what was interesting. Not only did they play in sync yesterday, which I thought was good with May being today in the final game of April at the ballpark,
right.
But there were also two different moments where they played Spice Girls, and they played Backstreet Boys. This is all in the last couple of days, and I did not do any investigating to see what exactly was going on, because those three songs, it was Spice Up Your Life, I think it was I Want It That Way by the Backstreet Boys, and It's Gonna Be Me by NSYNC. Those are three songs that to me are not in the typical rotation, so I need to investigate who was behind that, because in my opinion, and Woodsy, you'll disagree, I thought they did a great job. Little vibe at the ballpark.
Why do you have tastes like my wife?
Well,
you know, I guess you guys are the same age as your wife. Yeah, fair.
I enjoy a ton of different music, but you have to understand when you are like 8, 9 years old,
yeah,
and it's boy band fever, Woodsy, I'm telling you.
Had you been of age
and you've been going to Jones Beach and Madison Square Garden to see NSYNC, you would feel the same way. I will encourage people, okay? I will encourage people, go on YouTube and look up Madison Square Garden NSYNC, the HBO special. And I'm telling you, if you thought that NSYNC was just like this, I mean, they obviously are this very poppy boy band, but I think there's a real appreciation to what these guys were. When you look at the dancing and the quality of the show, like,
all right, Sammy, thanks for your time today. We're going to talk to you next week. We'll see you at the ballpark in a couple of weeks.
YouTube, MSG, NSYNC, HBO. You'll not be disappointed.
I guess the age difference really rears its ugly head. When I was nine. I was listening to Kiss, and then, you know,
right,
which was kind of a, you know, I mean, they were all in makeup and blowing fire and all that. So it's a different type of boy band, I guess, back then. But I did see that, and it does make me crazy every year. But you also realize. You realize that we're just 3 days away from May the 4th be with you. So this is May is just the month of bits.
Yeah,
it's great. It's great.
And I've never seen a Star Wars movie in my life.
Never once.
I don't see them. You know, I take that back. I saw the first one, whatever the first chronological one that came out was. I saw that. You know, wasn't really
into Star Wars.
I
never saw the
not a huge Star Wars guy.
I saw the one that came out in like 99 or whatever, 2000.
So the Anakin Skywalker, The Force Awakens.
But that was supposed to be the first one.
Yeah, like the backstory of Darth Vader.
That's the only one
young
I've seen.
Anakin Skywalker.
Darth Maul.
Yeah. All right, well, why don't we talk some Padres baseball since we have Sammy here for a few minutes. Really good bounce back, Sam, after obviously the getting swept by the Rays. We never want to put too much emphasis on one particular game or two-game series, you know, this early in the season, still April. But it did feel like the Padres, and I said this earlier, kind of targeted these two games, knowing they had days off before and after, get their bullpen and rotation set up. They really wanted to win these games, and they came through, Sam. They did, I think, exactly what Mike Schilt and A.J. Preller set them up to do.
I think it's an excellent point. I mean, you can look at the offense and obviously feel really good about the way they bounced back and the way that they had a couple of guys show up and arise in Hayward, and all of a sudden it looked like the offense we saw in the first two, 3 weeks, stringing hits together, moving the line. You look at what they did with runners in scoring position. They were excellent yesterday. They were 5-for-9 on Tuesday with runners in scoring position. They were getting hits with two outs, producing runs. It really was kind of remarkable to see them all of a sudden, and maybe it was an off day. Maybe it was just getting arise and Hayward back. But it really was remarkable to see them pep up offensively the way they did, and you now go on the road and you feel pretty good about who they are again, which is great to see. But, Ben, it's a really good point because beyond the offense, they did set things up to have Nick Pivetta and Michael King throw against the Giants, a team that had been playing really well, hitting the ball really well, and certainly that was a big part of two close wins, the way Pivetta and King threw, and those two guys continue to be great. So I think it's a really good point. The offense was certainly a big part of the two wins, but them setting things up with their rotation against the divisional opponent that was off to a good start, that was certainly a key part of it as well.
You know, it's funny, man. I saw a couple of Giant fans. I think they do a podcast or some sort of deal, and they were out in the nosebleeds, and they posted a video, and they're like, dude, we lost to the Padres, and, you know, this sucks. He goes, they're treating it like it's their World Series. And I thought to myself, it's kind of a tired insult. But, Sammy, the way I look at it, any game in the West this year, yeah, I'm going to treat it like it's my World Series, pretty much. Yeah. You know what I mean? I think as a fan, yeah, you want to beat these guys. We are going to be tooth and nail for a wild card or a division. I mean, really, like it is going to be tooth and nail with this division. I don't see a lot of teams giving at all. I see a lot of teams out there going to be fighting. So I think that's important, and I think that's a really interesting thing that you guys have brought up today of, yeah, they weren't going to mess around with the division rival. And I wonder if we'll see more of it down the road, Sammy. These games are massively important.
Yeah, and the reality was they weren't going to play five consecutive games until they do that when they play in New York in this upcoming road trip. So I thought it made a ton of sense when they sent Kyle Hart down and said they were going to stick with four starters. And I think it's also potentially a function of the way they were playing at the time and the fact that they had so many injuries and they were playing compromised already, that you were going to try to, you know, figure out a way to put your best team on the field every single game. And that included, skipping, some spots in the rotation and using the off days to their advantage. So I'm with you, Woodsy. Look, I think the Giants are going to be good. How good, I think, is the question. Are they going to keep up the kind of pace they were on? Probably not. Arizona's going to be good. We know the Dodgers are going to be there, and it's not about the division. I mean, it is, if you can be there at the end and fighting for it, that's great. But there's a real possibility you could be fighting for wild card spots with the Giants and with the Diamondbacks. So, yeah, when you play these teams and you play them as many times as you do, 13 times each, it's going to be really important. And I had no problem with the Padres, obviously, really tailoring things to give themselves the best chance to win these two games and really until they needed that fifth starter. So it was good to see. And again, I just really loved the way they kind of woke up offensively. And all of a sudden, looked like the team you fell in love with the first 2-3 weeks. I thought it was a great sign as they go on the road now.
Sammy, you say the wake up offensively, and certainly that was the case. And I think it's confusing to people because they look at Luis Arraez and Jason Hayward, and Arraez did have a couple of hits, had that triple yesterday, but that doesn't give you six runs. That's one hit. Hayward went 0-for-3. He walked once. What's the big difference? But I don't think people realize the trickle down effect of a lineup. It's not simply that you've got those guys in there, but you also have Tirso Ornelas and Connor Joe, who have not been producing at all, taken out of the lineup. And you're left with Tyler Wade, who's been decent at the bottom of the order, and of course Elias Diaz comes through, which was huge yesterday. The Padres really got past that tipping point of injuries where they just had too many to sustain themselves offensively. And it only took a couple of guys coming back to at least mitigate it. And now it looks like, based on what Mike Schilt said yesterday, could be getting everybody back relatively soon, it looks like.
Yeah, and I think one of the interesting things that they're going to have to decide, and, they can keep obviously both guys, but they'll have to decide, if they want to put Brandon Lockridge on the roster, right? Are they going to send, I suppose Tirso would maybe be an easy guy to send down whenever Lockridge is ready, but obviously they're going to have to make corresponding moves to when Lockridge and Merrill, two outfielders, come back, and you have somebody in Tyler Wade who, to your point, Ben, has been awesome. Like, I don't know. It's kind of hard for me to see Tyler Wade going down right now with the way he's playing and the way he's responded to coming back up. So it's going to be interesting on that front. And it sounds like Merrill and Lockridge are really, really close, and we're going to see him in the next handful of days. And Jake Cronenworth is going to go to Arizona next and start getting his work in there. So they're going to be back at full strength, hopefully, at some point on this road trip, which is great. To your point, Ben, on the lineup itself, I was talking about this with Tony yesterday, and I think you make a good point, because it's like, what does just adding a couple of guys, how could that make them look so different so quickly offensively? And we were talking about with Luis Arraez, and so many guys have said it in that clubhouse going back to last year, the way he impacted this team's offensive approach. But I think you look at something as simple as Arraez batting second, and the way he puts together an at-bat, the way he sees pitches. Now Manny is hitting behind him. It gives you a chance to see more from the opposing pitcher, see more from a reliever, and the real impact that can make. So, they've talked about it for a long time, the impact of Luis Arraez. This team, you could argue, kind of took on his personality offensively when he got here, from the way they hit to the way they approach it, so the way they're able to put the ball in play, it's very Luis Arraez-ish. It really is. So was that a coincidence that they kind of woke up offensively and started looking that way more when he returned? Might be a little bit of that, but there is a value that clearly Luis in particular brings to this lineup. And thankfully, it all kind of coincided together, Luis coming back and them kind of finding that offensive approach again.
I got Sammy Levitt, in-season Sammy, joining us. May 1st. It's going to be May, in fact. Dylan Cease on the bump tomorrow night against Mitch Keller. TBD the next couple of days. What are you hearing about what they're going to do? Probably Vasquez one day, and then what? Because they did send Kyle Hart down.
It would be Vasquez and Pivetta.
Vasquez and Pivetta, if they go again.
In order, and then they need someone on Tuesday for the Yankees in Kyle Hart's spot, right?
Yeah, I would think so. You know, we'll see. I would think you're right. It would probably be Vasquez and Pivetta to keep him on kind of the every 5 days. And then they're eventually going to need somebody. Now, look, that's going to be a really interesting decision for them. Is Kyle Hart going to come back up? Maybe. Could you see
pitching at Yankee Stadium, you know, too. Oh.
Right. I would be. It's a great point. Like, I'm going to be very interested to see who, when they need that fifth spot to come back up, who that is going to be.
Well, and
I don't know that they're...
Is it dependent, too, on how it goes in Pittsburgh? You know what I mean?
Like, would you rather have the fifth starter face the Pirates on Sunday,
right,
and push Pivetta
back
to Monday, give him the extra 5 days of rest instead of four, and have him go against the tougher lineup? I think there's an argument to be made either way.
Sure, and it could also depend on how things line up in the minors and who's throwing what day. And look, I'll be honest, I haven't paid attention to it enough to see where, say, a Kyle Hart and Stephen Kolick are, like, on their throw days and how that's all lining up. But it's a good point, and that's probably why they have not announced the starters for those games yet. Either it's being calculated or, you know, they don't want to say it yet. But it is an interesting decision to see, okay, when they do need to go back to five, they made a clear decision to keep it at a four-man rotation when they could. When they have to go back to five, when it becomes a necessity, what do they do? And is that Hart? Is that a Stephen Kolick? Is that somebody else? Is there a different approach to it? So it will be among the more interesting decisions the next few days, for sure. And look, as far as the Pirates, I mean, look, one thing about this series I would say, Mitch Keller is really good. He's been on a great run on Friday. That's not an easy customer on Friday. You have Andrew Heaney on Sunday,
yep,
who's also been very, very good so far. So Pirates aren't playing well. You know, there's a lot of, you know, a lot of fan, you know, criticism of what's going on there from a baseball side of things and the ownership and all that. And obviously they've got the superstar in Paul Skeens. And you know, and they're not winning, but they are going to face two pretty good starting pitchers Friday and Sunday. So it is something to note in how they approach the starting rotation. You know, the final couple of games in Pittsburgh and into that Yankee series. I'm with you guys. That's something to watch and going to be interesting to see kind of if they go to a who's up next or if they go back to Kyle Hart.
Sammy, enjoy your OB coffee shop day off, if that's your plan, and we'll get you tomorrow for a 2:40, I believe, pregame show,
yeah,
before the Pirates. So kind of almost a sort of day game for Padres fans tomorrow in the opener to the three-game series at PNC Park.
Yeah, should be an interesting series. Thanks so much, guys.
Thank you, buddy.
In-season Sammy Levitt joins us each and every Thursday here on the program. We got Eno Saris coming up in our next hour. I don't know if we mentioned it, since we brought up Jason Hayward's return. Did we talk about his catch?
Fantastic catch, man.
And what a critical time, too.
Just,
with
I love
the
him.
Tying run.
You'll
up
never get me to hate Jason Hayward, I'm telling you.
And
You'll never get me to hate him.
He's not going to be a superstar for the Padres, but that's the other thing. That's an upgrade defensively when you have Jason Hayward, I believe, out in left field.
Yeah.
He's just a solid player. He's a solid guy in that clubhouse, and that was a play they absolutely needed to have. You just have one drop in there. You can easily see the wheels coming off the wagon.
Oh, big time.
At that point.
Big
save
time.
Jason Adams bacon. Save the Padres bacon. Such a good play by Jason Hayward, and not an easy one at all.
No, not at all. Very happy to have him back. And you know, I love the guy. I love the guy. I want the absolute best for him when he gets his opportunity. So it was a big catch, huge, huge catch. I was actually coaching Little League, and one of the dads kind of came up. We got there way early as usual, and he goes, "You see Jay Hayes' catch?" I go, "No, I missed it. I'm gonna have to go back and watch it." He pulled it up on his phone. I went, "Oh man." Nobody happier than Jason Adam in that moment.
He doesn't look like a speedster, but he had to run 98 feet and slide to make that catch above the turf there in the eighth inning,
yep,
to rob who was it? Jung-Hoo Lee,
yep,
I believe that was. And he's been really good.
He's been
by the way, really good. Maybe the biggest difference maker for the Giants so far this season has been Jung-Hoo Lee, who looks like an all-star right now for those guys.
No question.
All right, We are 2 hours in. We will come back. Again, we've got Real or Fake on a Throwback Thursday. We've got Eno Saris for some smart baseball talk all coming up next. Ben Woods, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.